You're listening to Freethinker Radio on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.
All right, welcome to another episode of Freethinker Radio. I'm here with Micah. I'm here with Derek.
What's up, guys?
Hey, man. Always glad to be here in the 5 o'clock hour on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. And I KPFT gives such an opportunity for people to reach the community with their voice, with music, art, events, news, politics, points of view. I think Houston would really be bare FM without it. I mean, there'd be, you could listen to, you know, different genres of pop music, basically. And that's about, I think, all you'd get. At least on KPFT, you get a diversity of music, you get a diversity of views. And I'm always thankful for being here on, you know, a FM radio station that reaches well beyond Houston, up to Livingston, down to Galveston in the Bay. And so, yeah, 90.1 community radio, commercial.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here as well this week. And this week, guys, we're going to start off our show in a little bit of a different way. We are unfortunately going to be marking the passing of not only one of mine and Micah's personal friends, but a friend of the show, a friend of the community in a number of different ways. And we'll be playing some tributes to him this evening. And before we get started and get into all the news and the uncensored news and the underground music that everybody has come to know and love from our show that we've been doing here for 10 years. So, you know, let's start there. This show started in summer 2011, myself and Micah, and it was also somewhat born out of the activist group that we helped found and we were involved in for just under a decade, called the Houston Freethinkers. And I want to say around 2013, maybe early 2014, I had a young dude reach out to me who in the end would kind of feel like a younger brother. His name was Tripp, he told me. His real name was Alex Mohan. Some people knew him as Spot, some people knew him as Tripp, but he reached out to me and called himself Tripp. And he said that he had just recently graduated from Texas Tech in Lubbock and was back in the Houston area and wanted to connect with community, wanted to get involved in activism. He said he had been involved with Occupy Lubbock out there during college and just doing different things. And so Tripp became a regular, you know, just a staple at all the HFT events. I mean, wouldn't you say, Mike? I mean, he was at our music events. He'd come to the community garden at Last Organic Outpost. He'd come to documentary screenings at the Freethinker House, or there's, you know, protests. I'm going to show some clips in just a few moments. But, you know, we really wanted to take some time to just remember Tripp, and we put together a clip of some other community members that are going to share their thoughts. But yeah, feel free, Micah, to whatever you'd like to say. I'm going to get some of these clips ready, because and those of you who are listening, maybe those of you who heard that we were going to be honoring Tripp tonight, you might be listening for the first time, feel free to comment and we'll read your comments on air. This is broadcast on the Conscious Resistance and on KPFT in the Houston area, Galveston, Huntsville. So everybody in the Houston area will be hearing this while they're driving home on, you know, Friday, 5 p.m., and they'll be hearing about Tripp's life. So we really appreciate just the opportunity to do this.
No doubt. And it he'd been a guest on the radio show before, so that I think that's kind of interesting and important to mention. And he'd come on to talk about things that he was passionate about and events that were coming up, as well as things he was learning at the university. I thought, you know, we'd like to be able to have perspective of a lot of people, and we invite you to comment and to communicate with us and communicate with the audience and the ideas as well. But nonetheless, I am glad we're taking this time, because there have been a lot of, you know, a lot of people pass away all different ways, but their lives affect people and they go on affecting people. And Tripp is one of those people that, you know, like you mentioned, Derek, when we were doing a lot of activism with the Houston Freethinkers, kind of, you know, just on the regular, he would be at a diversity of events. Sometimes we would see people that would go to maybe a music show or multiple music shows, or we'd see people that would go to maybe the screenings or the skill shares, but they wouldn't really always mix. And Tripp was one of those people that would be, you know, he'd be on the street for, you know, some protest, but he'd also be at a Skillshare and a music event. And then, you know, once HFT started, you know, pursuing activism in different ways, I would still see Tripp. He would still show up at markets and shows like that one there. That was Otanana Trio over there at Darwin's Pub. I recognized that, you know, with Brennan, and I saw Brennan post up about Tripp in the feed today or yesterday as well. A lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time were commenting, you know, and you see this when someone passes. And I'm sure even if you're not in Houston or if you didn't know Tripp, you can recognize, you know, this in your community. So, yeah, we're thankful for all the work he did. You know, that's the thing I'd like to say. You know, he wasn't just a person who went to shows. He was a person who also did work in his community. He had gone to school. He was like one class, a mathematics class shy of another degree. You mentioned how he'd graduated from Texas Tech. He was looking to be a therapist and to continue to help other people in different ways. So I think all that's really important, and he's one of those people I'd run into out at shows, at random shows, maybe at Trip Six or, you know, just downtown, Red Dwarf, just different places you wouldn't expect him, and then boom, there'd be Trip, you know, and he's smiling, one of those people who's just so full of energy and that sort of stuff that you don't expect them to pass so young. So,
yeah, I'll just add to that, Micah, for those who are watching the screen right now, what I'm playing is a clip from, I want to say we did this back in 2015. This is myself and Johnny, who's a co-host of the show as well, who's not here today, who also was a really good friend of Tripp and is sharing a message in just a bit. But myself, Tripp, and a few other Houstonians, and we got local news coverage from the Houston Chronicle and others. We're just doing a demonstration essentially against the ongoing torture in the United States facilities, Guantanamo and elsewhere. And we were all out there drunk, dressed at the corner of Montrose and Westheimer at that famous intersection in orange jumpsuits with shirts wrapped around our heads, trying to simulate the way that some of these people are treated. People, in some cases, have been held for decades without charges. And myself and Tripp endured a simulated waterboarding, as you can see in this video. So, I mean, I just share that because, you know, as you were saying, Tripp was not only a good friend and a very creative, energetic person, somebody who loved to express himself through music and art and writing and philosophy and thinking, but he stood up for injustices, you know, and he was the kind of person that would speak up whenever he felt like something was wrong. And none of us are perfect, of course, and so there are different flaws that people might have focused on when Tripp was around, and now that he's gone, I think it's important that you know, not that those things be forgotten, because we're all flawed and we're all humans, you know, and Tripp definitely was, but he was out in his life, I think, trying to bring more love into the world and trying to do good for people and for himself, and sometimes that's a struggle for all of us. And so, yeah, we're just thankful to have met him and to have been able to spend some time with him, you know. And I want to read in just a moment, Micah, if you could take it for just a moment, I'm going to get this video ready. There's just hundreds of comments, I think, at this point on Tripp's Facebook page from different friends and people who knew him. And as I said, we do have a few people who reached out and sent us their thoughts in the form of audio. We're going to play three or four of these tonight and just share them out with the world for those who want to hear some thoughts about, you know, what.
And I think
one of the faults about him.
Yeah, we definitely want to hear more, and I'm looking forward to some of them after I've seen comments coming in that it said they sent us a recording. I want to draw the parallels that would be beyond Tripp, the power of this life to reach other people. Because, you know, sometimes it gets real easy to just get caught up in like one aspect of your life and, you know, or really be overwhelmed by things. And I think we can all get there. But, you know, when an individual passes and you see this outpouring for them, it kind of reminds you of our social nature. And this isn't like in a collective sense, but more in a like actual natural human sense, how we affect one another. And I think one thing I'll say is, you know, like I said, I'd always see him smiling. I knew of all the stuff he was involved in, and I knew of his energy. So we do affect one another. And I think that, God forbid, if you're in the past, don't you want him saying the good things about you? So, you know, maybe be a little kinder to our friends, be a little kinder for one another, maybe be a little more available. I don't know exactly what all that means, but, you know, offer a hand occasionally, as well as ask for a hand when you might need one. It's hard because I think as an individual, there's times where, no, I can handle this. I'm an adult. We all have to do the adulting, you know, or you hear people, I'm a big boy now, you know, I don't want to whine. I don't want to cry. I don't know. You know, I think it's important to value our friends and to, you know, maybe talk less and listen more and try to understand what they're going through if we care for them like that. And
absolutely,
I just wanted to make some of those points because this is an individual that I can see how many lives, you know, he was able to affect just in his wanderings, just in his intellectual wanderings and his philanthropic wanderings and his musical wanderings. A lot of people were affected by him. And I think that's a testimony to the power of human beings to positively influence one another. And I just want to use our conversation about this to encourage that in others.
Absolutely. I appreciate you saying all that, Micah. And I know his family will as well. They're going to be listening to this. And, you know, they're just so, I think, excited, not excited is the word, but they're happy to know their son had support and friends everywhere. And like you said, he touched lives in so many different ways. So I do have one of the recordings here. I'm going to pull it up in just a second here. We got Kevin, who Kevin was another member of the community who knew Tripp well and spent a lot of time with him. And, you know, before we get to these clips, because we're going to play Kevin and we're going to go right into this video, I put together a little slideshow of some images of Tripp with a few voice messages from his friends. But before we do that, I did want to, you know, just mention, Micah, that I do think it's worth noting that that there are people like Tripp who have struggled with drug use in different ways, right? And without getting into Tripp's personal business, Alex Mohan's personal business, there's a lot of people in our communities that we've seen, Micah, friends, family, associates, loved ones who, you know, do not make it with their struggles with drugs, and they end up passing away. They end up dying from overdosing or from struggles with these things. And sometimes it's mental health related. There's deeper issues going on that maybe people don't feel like they have the opportunity to work on or don't feel like they have anybody to talk to. And you kind of hinted at that, the importance of being there for our friends and, you know, just trying to be there more. I think that's just what I want to focus on for this. And for people in Tripp's situation, because I've known plenty of, myself have been in that situation, friends, family, et cetera, friends of this show, we know that have struggled in those ways. And it's important for us to try to be there for each other if we can. So I'm going to try to play this, Micah. This is from Kevin. I'm going to hit play. Just go ahead and tell me if you can, if the audio is coming through. If not, we'll go to the other video. But I want to make sure Kevin, we try to play this. So let's hear. This is from Kevin, a friend of Tripp, a friend of Freethinker Radio, a friend of KPFT, a friend of Houstonians everywhere who lost his life this past week. And there will be a memorial for him next Saturday, July 9th. We'll be giving you guys more of those details. But this is Kevin on Tripp. Can you hear that?
I'm not hearing anything.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to figure out if we can play that before we wrap today's show. But let's go ahead and play some clips from some other friends, including Cody, Mary, I want to say. I don't recall your full name, Mary. I apologize if I'm butchering your name, but I know she knew Tripp from back in the Lubbock days. And then as well as Johnny, our co-host, who also was in a band with Tripp called Your Friendly Neighborhood Anarchist. So these are three friends remembering Tripp, a.k.a. Alex Mohan, friend of this show, guest of this show, and just all around, you know, a shining light. So check this out. You're listening to Freethinker Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Cody, and I just want to send my love out to our brother Tripp and his family and friends. And, you know, it's a great loss that we've all experienced here. Tripp was a one-of-a-kind person that if you met him once or you met him 100 times, each of those times or that one time was unforgettable. He had a way and an energy about himself that was unmatched. He had a spark for knowledge and for fighting the world that we had all come to know and the corruption that we've all come to know. He did many things that I was a part of, many things that I wasn't, that I saw from the sidelines. And, you know, he was always pushing forward, trying to make the world a better place. And I hate that, you know, he got lost in this battle that's inside himself that we all can, you know, have and can battle. And I just hope that anybody out there struggling knows that, you know, people care about you and love you, and, you know, be safe if you can, you know. The world needs as many lights as we can, and we've lost a bright one, and I just want to send my love to Tripp.
Above pretty much any other descriptive word, I would say that Tripp was fearless especially in such a hostile environment, to question status quos. People have ended up underground for less. In his memory, whatever that spark is inside of you that he was there for, that he saw, that he nourished, fanned, and even don't let that go out. We need that more than ever. Never forget.
Tripp and I wrote this song in like 5 minutes outside of our friend Kayla's house because we were too annoying playing music inside her house for her to study. And, you know, yeah, I just want to say, love you, Tripp, man. I know I didn't say it recently, and, you know, sometimes people do have falling outs and don't get to make up, but either way, we spent a lot of years together and did a lot of growing up together, and we've been through a lot together, and, you know, you always hope you can reconnect with those people, and it doesn't always happen, and, you know, sometimes you grow apart, but I just want to say that, you know, Tripp definitely was a light in the world, and as a crazy soul, he, you know, he was a one-man show, and he could run the mosh pit, and, you know, he had more energy than pretty much anyone I ever met, and he cared a lot about social issues and a lot about people, and despite his shortcomings, you know, he was a good man, and we're all very, very sorry to hear him go and see him go, and just love to his family, love to his friends, and yeah, it's hard. This is the mosquito song.
Didn't ask for the blood transfusion. Parasites are full of pollution. Didn't ask for the blood transfusion. Wanna kill him with electrocution. Didn't ask for the blood transfusion. Parasites are full of pollution. Didn't ask for the blood transfusion. Wanna kill him with electrocution. I'm outside, this really sucks. Bugs are biting my nuts. Lit some candles and sprayed some clay. These bugs won't go away. Like 150 bites a day. And that's just on my leg. Pesticides and DDT. Now I can't even breathe. Didn't ask for the blood transfusion. Parasites are full of pollution.
Love that song. I think it kind of captures some of the lightheartedness of that band that Johnny and Tripp were in together, Friendly Neighborhood Anarchist. So yeah, it's definitely good to hear that song. It always made the crowd smile, and I think that's the important thing, is to, you know, remember the good things and to, like, that, you know, a couple of those comments from the guests were really interesting, and they had some good points like that, like, you know, remembering the parts in you that you connected with, basically, in your conversations and in your interactions with Tripp.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate everybody who sent us these messages. I apologize to Kevin for not being able to share that. I did have one more. I want to make sure I don't miss this. There was somebody who actually just emailed me and just sent a little bit of text, and I want to make sure we do share this and for his family to know that so many people out here supported him and were friends to him in different ways, and he was friends to them. So this is from Andrew. Let me see if he gives his full name. Andrew McMillan. He says, I first met Tripp Alex at Texas Tech University. He had his fist in the air and a cardboard sign in his hand, blasting banks for their roles in the 2008 financial collapse and leading the way for the Occupy Lubbock movement to blossom. His fiery passion burned in his eyes through his sunglasses, but his compassion is what stuck out to me. Tripp is one of the good souls. He took in all sides within an open mind and a thirst for understanding. He never let the big things get him down. He just saw them as opportunities. I assure you that all of us who knew him can also point to a time when life tried to kick him to the ground, but he stood proud. I can also assure you that all of us who knew him wish that we could do more to be there for him. His last words to me were, "Don't forget your boy Tripp. How could anyone forget you? I miss you, man." So that's coming from Tripp's friend, Andrew McMillan. And let's go take a quick music break, and we'll come back with some more news here on Freethinker Radio. This is going to be The Rugged Man. We'll be right back.
I'm the last one they should ever let speak. I should say politics, forget prayers, and the
Immortal Technique. Our
way of life is under attack. The survival of our friends is in danger.
There's a new housing plan for the ghetto eventually. Projects for a new American century. False flag terrorism controlling you mentally. The gospel in the hands of people with no empathy. A mixture of dangerous social chemistry between law enforcement and a military entity. Cameras on the corner of every corner you facing. Testing out a future Gestapo on immigration. Power, consolidation, information restricted. Just like the iron law of oligarchy predicted. Incarcerating the poor among the drug addicted. But not the families of the ruling class that's afflicted. Cause it's a fucking caste system like corrupted Hinduism. I think you should listen. I've been through the system in prison. I've been through religion. Carried the cross as a Christian. Like it was anti-disestablishmentarianism. Until the seeds of despotism arrested my vision. Lyricism with cynicism and syllogisms. Until they Pedro Albizu Campos and kill me in prison. Chemtrail conditions. Stem cells of Leo Strauss's philosophy. The birth of neocon policy. But I laugh at America's fear. A new world order controlling the hemisphere. Cause my people been living that for the past 500 years.
Intelligence, understanding, the facts they deserve to know. No governmental plan should impose its restraints against your will.
Who do we trust? Who do we trust?
The facts.
Who do we trust? Who do we trust?
Intelligence.
Who can I trust? Who can I trust?
Expose crimes of the power structure. Enter the fire, cause the truth is now treason to the U.S. Empire. U.S. meddling in almost every foreign election. See where the next drone heading, civilian dead in the Yemen wedding. Barely reported because the weapons were exported from the politicians in the Pentagon. The Saudis bought it and the babies and the children were slaughtered. The authorization, authorization, deplorable, demoralization. Obedience to authority, colonize the minority. Social norm is to conform to the immoral majority. White superiority, secession of separatism, the terrorism of American exceptionalism. Go to Plan B, be free. TV, PD, a Tuskegee VD, grave plot, soldier pop, corpse rot, spin over. Monsanto weed killer, non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Whistleblower, men are afraid to label the threat a traitor. Executive legislator trying to suppress your behavior. Intelligence interrogator, collecting metadata. Condemning the messenger and censoring the educator. CIA feed the propaganda to the television. In the next edition, the pundits preach it in repetition. Loyal to the monarchy, hereditary or elected. The royal family and president selected.
Secret society, the secret oaths, censorship, impose restraints against your will.
Who do we trust? Who do we trust?
The facts.
Who do we trust? Who do we trust?
Intelligence.
Who can I trust? Who can I trust?
Knowledge of himself. Who can I trust?
Informing and alerting. The American people.
motto at West Point. You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole. It's like we had entire training courses. It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment.
So we're back for Freethinker Radio, and today we have a very special interview to present to our audience. And I really want to encourage not only everybody who is going to be hearing this in the Houston area, the Galveston area, Huntsville, all around the Houston Metroplex, to really pay attention to what the information that's going to be presented today, but also I want to encourage our regular listeners at KPFT, and even maybe some of the other co-hosts and other, staff here at KPFT who might be familiar with Lena Hidalgo and this next story. I encourage you to listen with an open mind and open ears to our guest, Dan Cohen, a journalist with Mint Press News, as well as a filmmaker. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm good. Thanks a lot for having me, Derek.
Yeah, I appreciate this. Let's just dive right in. I appreciate the work you're doing on this really important topic. I will preface this by saying, you know, our regular listeners here at Freethinker Radio know that myself and Micah have been following this story, particularly the Elevate Strategies scandal, I guess you could say, local scandal involving Commissioner Court Judge Lena Hidalgo, her office, some of her staff, and not just any run-of-the-mill staff members, but chief of staff and people pretty close to her who have all been indicted now. And we've been following this sort of public battle between her and Kim Ogg and just playing this out in the media, essentially. Lena Hidalgo still saying, you know, she's expecting to be indicted herself at some point, but, you know, claiming to be completely innocent and saying the facts will show that. And Kim Ogg saying, well, you know, we have a grand jury for a reason. We're investigating this. So we've been talking about that angle for months now, but you've put together a two-part investigation now for Mint Press. You published the first one in January and then just recently published the second part. And this takes that local story that I was just talking about, and it kind of, I think it just extrapolates it out even to the larger degree of, well, really, who is Lena Hidalgo and her past and some of the connections and, who are the people that are funding her or funding her policies and the people who might, you know, have her ear when it comes to advising her on different things like COVID-19. So, you know, I've said a lot there, but why don't you go ahead and introduce us to what this investigation is about, and then we'll dive in.
Well, I first heard about Lena Hidalgo back in December of last year during the Omicron spike. And, you know, basically I caught her in a lie saying that Harris County had the first Omicron death in the country. And this was right before Christmas, just as everyone was preparing to travel home and go see their family. And it just put the kibosh on a lot of it. And it was just total fear mongering because, as it turned out, I called the Harris County Department of Health and it was not a death from Omicron. It was someone who happened to test positive for Omicron, which is two very different things. That was my jumping off point, seeing who is this figure, Lena Hidalgo. And, you know, she had gotten a lot of national media attention as this big kind of AOC style progressive who is coming in to, you know, Houston, Harris County, and going to be against corruption and kind of the good old boy game and a real progressive star. And that obviously appeals to a lot of young people. But I found through my investigations, which you said the first was published in January, the second just a couple days ago here in June, she is really an operative of the Democratic National Committee and a billionaire power couple, the wealthiest couple in Houston, actually, John and Laura Arnold and their foundation. And if you read my investigation, you'll see that essentially, her election, where she narrowly won basically by tying her name to Beto O'Rourke, was basically coordinated with the Arnolds turning their fortune, their nonprofit, into a for-profit corporation. And they've just influenced policy not only in Houston through Lena Hidalgo in extremely destructive ways, but all over the United States. They have a massive, massive influence network stretching across the United States. And Lena Hidalgo and this organization they fund, a think tank they fund inside Rice University called the Texas Policy Lab. These are just kind of a couple of cogs in it. So it's kind of this giant spider web of influence in politics in a specifically for-profit corporation that has embedded themselves in the public sphere, and using kind of, you know, the first Latina county judge or kind of, you know, the appeals to identity politics as a cover. And Lena Hidalgo in the COVID era, you know, which started shortly after she came into office, was the primary. Well, she signed the orders for lockdowns in Harris County, which just had the most devastating effects on the working class and on poor people. There were some 50,000 eviction orders between March 2020 and December 2021, the third most in the country. And none of this had any actual benefit for public health, for people's well-being. So what I really wanted to show in this investigation is how Lena Hidalgo actually, despite her image as a progressive reformer, an outsider, political outsider, is totally cut from the Democratic Party machine. Was since she was actually in high school in Houston, has been raised to be essentially a political operative. And that has led to her implementing some of the most destructive policies imaginable amid the COVID-19.
So let's take a step back now. You mentioned quite a few things there that are all important. I want to focus on for a moment the connection, the relationship with the Arnolds. As you said, Houston's billionaire couple, John and Laura Arnold, is it correct? Is that correct? Yeah. And so this couple that, honestly, again, I don't think most Houstonians are probably aware of this couple or the work that they're doing. And definitely, I would say, not aware of the connection between in the city as, you know, the kind of young Latina, you know, hope for the future and maybe Texas is going to turn blue kind of thing is really the way they frame it. And that her success, as you said, which was not really a massive victory in the end, but is framed as sort of this turning of the tide in Texas. And she's got this support, though. And so she's consulting with, she has a relationship as far as partnership, business relationship, some extent with the Arnolds themselves directly, but then through the Texas Policy Lab where at Rice University in Houston, where she was getting her advice for the lockdowns and everything else with COVID. And as you said, a lot of the fear mongering around the vaccines and the deaths, this is also funded by the Arnolds. So you could you talk a little bit more about that and the importance of recognizing that?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how many, you know, how much people pay attention, but the Arnolds, John and Laura Arnold, as I was kind of saying before, play a huge, huge role in national politics. And they fund both Democrats and Republicans, but tend to lean more Democrat. And so, I mean, of course, they, you know, personally donated to Lena Hidalgo's campaign. They also voted, donated to, for example, Dan Crenshaw, not exactly a progressive hero, John McCain, you know, who is former, the late John McCain, the senator in my home state of Arizona. So it's really, they don't have any particular allegiance to any, you know, political party. It's just whatever is going to benefit their agenda and their pocketbook. And so when Lena Hidalgo came in, and she was actually dispatched by a top longtime Democratic Party strategist, totally from the establishment at Harvard, named Steve Jordan, I believe his name is. They basically saw that Ed Emmett, the former Houston Harris County judge, was weak and that they could eke out a victory, and they managed to do it. It's actually brilliant strategy. And so Lena Hidalgo comes in, and instead of saying, all right, I'm going to listen to the young people and, you know, the grassroots support that I got, it became, she actually boasted, and this is in my first article, that she's not going to be making decisions. She's going to be taking advice from others, and basically others are going to be making the decisions for her. And when I say others, it's essentially corporate consultants from Washington, D.C., from New York, who basically see the people of Harris County as employees that they can fire. They want to cut down on public services of all kinds and just completely rearrange society. And they've done this all over the United States to cut public benefits, cutting pensions in particular. She hired PFM Consulting, which is a national consulting corporate consulting group based out of Philadelphia. But it just wreaked havoc in every city that and county and state that they've been contracted by. And the first thing is Lena Hidalgo goes to them. That's kind of the tip of the iceberg in terms of her connections to basically the corporate world. But there's nothing grassroots about her. She completely does the bidding of corporate consultants and basically the Arnolds, who through the Texas Policy Lab, this kind of private think tank that's funded by the Arnolds and housed inside Rice University, where Laura Arnold sits as a member of the board. And if you look at the indictment, you know, the unsealed warrant in this whole Elevate Strategy scandal, Texas Policy Lab is mentioned in there. So they're part of this too. And frankly, I think they should be being investigated. But Texas Policy Lab, this billion, you know, John and Laura Arnold funded think tank, designed every single aspect of the devastating anti-worker lockdowns that Harris County suffered for months and months and continues to suffer from. So, you know, massive amounts of layoffs and evictions and child hunger and poverty. That was all designed by Arnold Ventures, by these billionaires who are using, you know, who Lena Hidalgo is essentially serving their interests and has totally rented out her political, her office to them. And she boasted about it publicly, and the Texas Policy Lab on its webpage and on the Arnold Ventures website, you know, boasts that they've been giving, you know, basically what they call advice to the campaign or the office of Lena Hidalgo. So it's all sitting out there in the
open. Let me pause you there for a moment, Dan. I appreciate this. I mean, again, we're talking with Dan Cohen of Mint Press News, filmmaker as well, and he has done an amazing two-part investigation into Lena Hidalgo, who will be familiar to all of our local audience in the Houston area. And he's just recently released his second part here. And for those who are going to be watching us on screen, I spent a little bit of today just sort of mapping out some of the connections, not nearly all of the ones that you pulled up, Dan, but some of the connections related to our conversation here. You know, some of the people donating to our campaign, as you covered, directly coming from the Democratic National Party, the Democratic Committee. Then as far as COVID-19 policy, like you've outlined, the Texas Policy Lab funded by Arnold Ventures, which is run by John Arnold and Laura E. Arnold. And there's also some interesting connections from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to the Arnolds themselves and a lot of the programs that they're involved in. So beyond just simply kind of calling out I think the important fact that this is not a grassroots kind of rise from the bottom sort of story that we're led to believe. You know, as it's often said, Lena Hidalgo, she saw Trump doing all these horrible things and just decided she had to run for office. And, you know, now has just come from behind. Like you said, you know, one of these young people riding the waves of Beto and has signaled something. But in reality, there's a lot of funding behind her. There's a lot of planning and her education as well that you outline from places like the National Hispanic Institute for the Center for Democracy, Development, and the Rule of Law at Stanford. Her time at Internews. I mean, there's just a lot of really interesting connections throughout her life that on their own maybe don't signal, hey, this person is, you know, somebody we should be concerned about. But taken together, they really do paint a different picture than the one that we are, you know, seeing out in the Houston Chronicle and places like that in the Houston area. We're down to just the last couple minutes here on the radio, but are there any other, you know, final closing thoughts or just other big takeaways, maybe something you didn't get a chance to put into the investigation yet that you'd like to share with the audience?
I mean, there's, you know, honestly, there's so much that I didn't get to touch on, but I think the key thing for, you know, people, particularly on the left, you know, which I include myself as part of, to understand about Lena Hidalgo, about the Arnolds, about these lockdowns, is that they were lockdowns that were implemented by Lena Hidalgo are something that the ruling class, that the ultra wealthy benefited from, because essentially the concept is we're going to turn off the faucet that everyone drinks from. And, you know, if you can, if you have enough saved up, if you're wealthy, then you'll be fine. If you don't, you're going to be basically in extremely bad shape. And that's what happened to everybody. So all of these restaurant closures, for example, look at the restaurants that went out of business. It's small restaurants, mom and pop. Meanwhile, Cheesecake Factory and the big ones, those all survived. Or look at Amazon, the growth of Amazon in the COVID-19 era. All these small businesses died out. Well, the ultra wealthy did great. And so that is who Lena Hidalgo did the bidding of. And that's not an endorsement of, you know, her opponent in the upcoming election or anything. That's just honest criticism. And the lockdowns represented the most severe attack on the working class. In fact, Houston experienced the worst economic crisis it ever has, worse than the 2008 Great Recession and worse than the, 1987? I can't remember exactly what year, oil bust combined. And so for people like me and maybe you who, you know, work behind a laptop, it's not necessarily extremely visible. But for working people, you know, people who work in restaurants and service industry and hotels, their lives were upended and destroyed. And that had nothing to do with the ideals that, you know, that self-styled progressives like Lena Hidalgo claim to represent, claim to believe in. She's just doing the bidding of the ultra wealthy and ruling class and destroyed huge amounts of lives.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Dan, that's something that we do see in the Houston area. I mean, anybody who lives in Houston and has lived there the last couple years has seen some of our favorite restaurants, favorite businesses, small shops, as you mentioned, closing down, not able to survive through the lockdowns, not able to survive through the shutdowns, not to mention just the outright false information that was spread by her administration, as you so just elegantly exposed. And I'm so thankful to have that on the record, you know, because it's important for the future if these policies do attempt to come back, which I think they probably will, for any other future pandemic that might come about. So these things are important to expose, and I really do appreciate the work you're doing on this. Where can people follow up with you and keep up with your future reports if they'd like to?
Well, all my work gets published at Mint Press News, and I tweet a lot at DanCohen3000 on Twitter. Follow me there. You know, write me, hit me up in private messages. I'm happy to, you know, come on, debate people, and just you know, show what's really going on from what I can see.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dan. You guys have been listening to Freethinker Radio. Well, let's just pick it up right there, Micah. What do you think about this? You guys, we've just listened to an interview I conducted with journalist Dan Cohen of Mint Press News. We'll be publishing that on our website, but you can find his investigations at Mint Press News on Lena Hidalgo. Yeah, what do you think, Micah? Just initial thoughts?
I guess I'm not really all that surprised. And like you were saying as well, digging deeper into the roots of these companies around the family there, Arnold's, that may provide some interesting insights into the political game that's been going on. I appreciated your diagram. I saw there were even Arnold's in other areas, the Arnold and Itkins. I wondered if that was a son, because I looked that up, and that's a law firm. I think that's interesting. I do think that for a while, and I think I've mentioned this in past episodes, recognize the divide between the policies and the people that the Democratic Party typically says are, you know, their target audience, you know, the working class people, because the policies were really hurting waitresses, waiters, people that interacted with the public. I mean, Sears on Shepherd, an iconic store, shut down. We've seen restaurants shut, all these things that you mentioned as well. And, you know, we see, as mentioned before, this individual, this Ms. Hidalgo, advancing these ideas that Dan Cohen, that she basically rented out her office and was boasting of taking the ideas from elsewhere. And then that just kind of troubles me, because here she is more or less promoting the idea that we need COVID reform, COVID, you know, COVID help. We need to wear a mask and think of COVID every single day. We need our businesses shut down and our livelihood threatened, you know, but nobody, you know, so she's putting that in the mindset of the society and then turning around and moving millions of dollars in this, what was the name of that company?
Elevate Strategies.
Yeah, that's it. Elevate Strategies. And yeah. I think one of the interesting things that he mentioned was that the that one of the Andrews corporations, the think tank from over at Rice, was named in the lawsuit that they're in there somehow as a character. I don't know if they're
The Texas Policy Lab. He didn't say exactly how, but yeah, I guess they're maybe implicated. They're involved. Yeah. And I encourage everybody again to go to mintpressnews.com. Check out Dan Cohen. He's a journalist there. The first piece was published in January. The second one was just published this week. And the other thing I'll say on that, and then we can maybe cover some of those stories you got. We got about 10 minutes or so here on KPFT, is that in his first article, and he alluded to this a little bit in our interview, he didn't really go deep into it, but he caught not only Lena Hidalgo, but all the local officials and the major media in a lie, which, you know, is happening more often than not these days. But I think it's worth mentioning that Lena Hidalgo, Micah, and this is interesting because her, as we just said, her talking points are coming from the Arnolds, this Arnold Ventures, these rich billionaire, the Houston's richest billionaire, John Arnold and his wife, Laura Arnold, and their foundations and all their money, at least in a major way when it comes to COVID via the Texas Policy Lab at Rice University, right? So we just went through that. Well, last 2021, I can't remember what the date is, but she declared that Houston, and by way of Houston being in Texas, Texas's first Omicron death. And it started with her, a tweet that she made. And she said, we can confirm the first death in Texas from Omicron. It was a 50-year-old unvaccinated man. Guys, please go get vaccinated. Well, Dan's article shows not only how that headline got picked up by Newsweek and this place and, you know, independent media in some cases on the left and others and went all over the place. Well, he called the Harris County Health Department and he has the recording in his article and asked them if the person died with COVID or from COVID. And they checked and they said they couldn't confirm that he had officially died with COVID. He asked them a couple times to get them to clearly say it. He's like, so you can't say that this is the cause of death. And she says, you know, we have epidemiologists here and they do thorough checking and we can't say 100% that that's what caused it. We can say that he was tested positive, you know, and so Dan goes through some more information about that, but it's just an example of how something like that is said on the local level and an official like Lena Hidalgo that most people only know on a local level, don't know who she is outside of Houston. And even some people in Houston have no idea who she is, but clearly she's on the trajectory to go to higher offices, and she's been working and being sort of groomed by these different relationships she's had throughout her career, her education, and in her her professional career. So, yeah, I just wanted to make that point. She was caught in a lie, and he caught the documentation. So go check out those articles. And, yeah, I'm glad we were able to share that here on a local level and hopefully crossing some fingers that some other local media in Houston might pick up on those stories. You know, that would be great if some of the TV stations in the Houston area or any of the other news stations or news programs, even other shows on KPFT would pick up this story and take an interest in it. But in the meantime, Mike, I know we've got four stories that we wanted
We do, but there's a, you know, the point here also in the chart, and the point is to consider if you get involved in politics at all or have these people get involved in your life like she did in a lot of people's lives who didn't even know her name before it, maybe consider where their ideas are coming from and where their money's coming from. You know, we often see it on the presidential, right, when we see that the same banks and the same media companies and that gave to both parties to ensure their, you know, their bet. But a lot of times people don't have time to look into it in the local, and they believe, you know, the latest, greatest sounding like a solution. So nonetheless, I think this is probably going on across the country. She's probably one of many.
Well, that's the thing that Dan Cohen does show in that article is that the Arnolds are funding policy labs in different cities, including D.C. and others. So it's not just happening in Houston. You can bet that this is really it's like a billionaire network funding COVID policy around the country. But let's see if we can hit a few of these. I know there's at least a couple of them.
Yeah, at least the headlines. At least the headlines to let people know what's going on around the world a little bit. I saw you flash the NATO vows to guard every inch of territory as Russia fumes. It seems like NATO, you know, we've heard about the dangers of all these entangling alliances, but, you know, it's hard to understand anybody hearing that nowadays, because now they're looking to add Finland, which will, you know, Finland has a huge border with Russia, like huge, like it will basically double the size of the NATO border with Russia by Finland joining. So that's a, you know, that's a massive threat right there to the Russians on their border. And, you know, more saber rattling as they name China as a potential threat and so on. So I'm not sure, you know, think about it. North Atlantic Treaty Organization, where they're supposed to defend each other. And, you know, we see people talking about this with Ukraine. They were able to get Turkey to go ahead and agree with it by giving them some F-16s, because more war is always a good way to get people to do what you want, I guess.
More war, right? That's what we need right now. People dealing with inflation, food shortages, more war. So this next one, we got a couple of Supreme Court decisions. I mean, the Supreme Court's been making a lot of consequential decisions lately, huh?
No doubt, and I noticed that, and I kind of, that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about these. Not to mention, obviously, we've talked about qualified immunity on this show for a long time, and it, because this case showed up, I felt we had to at least mention it, and the articles will be out there on the HoustonFreethinkers.com, so you can dig into them a little bit more, because I know we can only do a cursory view of this for now. Turns out the U.S. Supreme Court just this week refused to revive civil rights lawsuits against jail staff and police in two cases from Texas in which these officials were granted a protection called qualified immunity after being accused of misconduct. One case involved a suit by the family of an inmate who died in 2017 after strangling himself in a cell with a telephone cord while an on-duty guard stood by in small-town Coleman County Jail. The other involved a suit by a family of a man who erupted in flames and died after police in the city of Arlington shot him with a stun gun after he doused himself with gasoline. So, it turns out the Supreme Court is basically defending these from any sort of civil suit and claiming they had qualified immunity. Lower courts blocked the lawsuits by granting police and jail officials qualified immunity. This legal defense protects police and other government officials from civil litigation in certain circumstances, permitting lawsuits only when an individual's clearly established statutory or constitutional rights have been violated.
You know, I feel like besides the most probably diehard authority worshippers, I'll say kindly, who really never question whether or not the police have done something wrong. Besides those types, that there's a good portion of the political spectrum or apolitical spectrum that I think supports or could get behind or build an alliance around the idea of getting rid of qualified immunity for police officers.
Well, you know, you got to ask yourself, this guy got zapped with the cables, you know, after dousing himself in gasoline, but that's not violating his constitutional rights. I mean, I guess they're just saying, well, they had no way of possibly knowing from, you know, gas fumes or anything. I mean, I don't know what to say to that, but it does stress that, you know, what happens. And these are probably just two of the cases that managed to fight it to there. There may be way more qualified cases. We may have even seen them that just didn't have the stamina, the money, the backing to fight all the way to the Supreme Court. So I thought that was interesting, and we did have the other one, basically a climate related decision that the Supreme Court had made. Did you see that one, Derek?
Yeah, I was checking this out earlier. I was actually reading about this, so I'm glad you picked it up. But you know, without getting lost into the details, essentially it is just similar to the last one in the sense of you know, obviously courts battling each other. And in this case, the Supreme Court decision is kind of seen as a win for the Trump administration, the previous Trump administration, and his supporters, and those in general who might not want to empower the government to fight climate change or maybe not to do anything. But it says the Supreme Court handed down a 6-3 decision. I think there's going to be a lot of those. West Virginia versus EPA that denied the EPA's authority to enact sweeping regulations for greenhouse gases that would decarbonize American energy under the Clean Air Act. And I know that it was like a battle between a law that Trump passed, which I think is the Clean Air Act, and then a previous legislation, the Obama policy that they called the Clean Power Plan, which was never implemented because Trump immediately like repealed it and replaced it with something of his own, and then lawsuits ensued, and so it's made its way all the way up to the Supreme Court. And yeah, I think it's basically just it's trying to limit the ability for the government to enforce certain regulations they might like to in the interest of their fight against climate change.
I thought there was a good piece there now that I look at that article again. The one paragraph, and it kind of made some sense. When Congress seems too slow to solve problems, it may be only natural that those in the executive branch might seem to take matters into their own hands. But the Constitution does not authorize agencies, you know, the alphabet soup agencies, to use pen and phone regulations as substitutes for laws passed by the people's representative. In our republic, it is the peculiar province of the legislature to prescribe general rules for the government of society. But today's decision, you know, basically, I thought that was an interesting point because it did rein in bureaucracy a little bit. And it's
saying the government can't just, you know, by fiat start some new EPA or climate or really any kind of program that it has to, if they're going to try to do this, they have to send it back through Congress and the representatives, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, we're down to just our real last minute here, so I'm going to go ahead and we'll just total headline here. Guys, higher food prices, global food shortages feared as crop fertilizer prices are soaring around the country. This one from USA Today starts by looking at places not that far away over in Cincinnati, Ohio. So that's something we're going to talk more about on the next show, and I know it's becoming more of a reality for many of you who are listening at home. It's something that we're very well aware of, and we've been talking about for years, and the reasons behind the inflation, the reasons behind the food shortages and the rising food prices and stuff like that. We will continue to cover that every week. Want to say thank you one more time to everybody who shared a message. I have a 1-minute message. I wanted to save time for this from Kevin. So we didn't miss you, Kevin. This is a 1-minute message to our friend Trip, aka Alex Mohan. And then we're going to just be out of here for today. We'll end with the song. But anything else, Micah, before we get out?
No, just value your friends. Be involved in your community. Don't let all this crazy news get in the way of you pursuing your dreams. Invest in yourself and have a good one until next week.
See you guys next week. And this is for you, Trip.
Hello, my name is Kevin. I just wanted to share a few thoughts about my friend Alex, who some of you probably know by one of his various wacky nicknames. He was such an individual. I mean, truly a unique character. He was smart, quick-witted, open-minded, incredibly creative, and super spontaneous. I've honestly never met anyone quite like him, and certainly anyone who knows him would say the same. In fact, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't know a lot of you that are listening. Some of the great people I know now in the music and activism communities, including you guys over here at Freethinker Radio. And thank you for doing this, by the way, for him. So many memorable experiences and interesting conversations over the years with him that really stuck with me. He helped me discover a lot about myself. And I'll always remember him being there for me during some of my darkest moments. He was truly a good friend. And my heart goes out to all his loved ones. We'll miss you, buddy.